Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Creep on in, on in, on in. Ooh, see I'm riding high, high, high. Whoa. Kinda broke the ceiling, y'all. So all I got is fire. I got five on it.
I just sing that because I like singing it. It's me, JNP. Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix, JN Fiend, for y'all who know. I'm here with my brother. I also hate Pitt. Tell him what's up, boy.
What's really good, y'all?
We're so excited, man. Another day, another week. The week before it really, really goes down, we are going to try to, you know, brace ourselves, talk about Mountaineer stuff, but we are really going to go fully in next week with the passion and the flavor and the feelings. But for now, Jordan, drop those five questions on us.
What's up, RVK fans? This is your host, Jordan Tycuri, for the segment of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. The Raspy Voice Kids have five fill-in-the-blank answers, so let's start off with the first blank. The Manti Te'o documentary had me feeling blank.
Sad. Gotta be honest, Jeremy, I was a little sad. I was sad at the naivete of a man who was sheltered from a small community and who really hadn't experienced a lot of the world, was relatively new to the internet, and just got. And it was sad to see the impact it had on him in his life. He never fully recovered. Watching him, he doesn't look fully healed. It was sad. I felt sad. Sad for Manti Te'o, but not for Naya.
Yeah, I felt bad. You said sad, I say bad. I mean, I got two feelings. I felt bad for, you know, Manti Te'o. I understand how this happens. This is before you really fully know about, you know, catfishing and whatnot. I do feel like he was a little naive a lot of times in this thing. Like, I feel like everybody says, well, if I was in that situation, I would know better. And most people are wrong. But me, I would be right when I said, I would know better, man. And, it feels a little bit like, what's his name, Curtis Jackson? Is that 50 Cent's real name?
Yeah.
Where he says, survive the shot to die. And what he means is, like, we all have certain things that we have to be up against and have to go through that's tough and terrible. And I see all these people coming out and support Manti. And look, I get it. Support him. He went through the ringer. But that's part of what comes with being the number one player in high school football and then going to Notre Dame. That's part of what comes with it. Look, I didn't get catfished, but I might as well got catfished in what I thought my ex-wife was and who I thought I was marrying. Like, it's a big deal. Anybody writing articles about me talking about I feel so sorry for JN Fiend? No. So, hey, look, survive the shots to die. I hope everything goes well with him. I think Naya was dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
I don't get super sympathy over it, Brandon.
Number two, West Virginia University not being ranked in the top 55 in the coaches poll or top 47 in the AP poll has you feeling blank.
Not feeling normal. Every day the same as the day before. Feeling like, duh. That's how I'm feeling. I don't even have a one-word answer, Jeremy. I mean, duh. Of course we're not ranked. Of course we're not ranked in the top 55 or top 47. First of all, the coaches poll means nothing to me. The AP poll definitely means something, but why should we be ranked? We weren't ranked last year after going 6-7 if you include the bowl game. Then we lose pretty much our entire secondary and so much from the defense. You don't really know what to expect. What am I supposed to think? So, duh, of course we're not ranked. Of course we're not ranked in the top 47.
No, most normal people would feel that way. But for us, you know, scholars and deep thinkers, Brandon, I feel disrespected over not being ranked. Let me take you back. Let's go back, way back, back in the time. Let's go back to 2018. Scott Frost, Notre Dame. They come off a 4-8 season. That's his first year at Notre Dame. Nebraska. 4-8 in his first season in Nebraska. The very next year, 2019, the Associated Press, the AP poll, ranks them number 24. Why'd you rank them number 24? What did you see? No, you believed in Scott Frost. You believed in the quote-unquote process. You ranked them number 24. And how did they repay you? They went 5-7 to finish that 2019 year, showing they didn't deserve to be ranked number 24. My point is this. I feel disrespected because if you really respected West Virginia, you looked at us and realized we got one of the best offensive coordinators in the country from USC, Graham Harrell, who's been doing it. A 99 overall quarterback of JT Daniels now coming to West Virginia. And our promise has been
99 overall.
Out of high school, Brandon. I'll break it down later because we're going to get in this. He was a .99 coming out of high school, 15 player overall rank, 5-star coming out of high school. Yes. And he comes to West Virginia, and now we're 47? Nebraska was 24, and we're 47. That's nothing but disrespect. I feel disrespected. And I hope West Virginia takes it as that, because that's exactly what it is.
Number 3. Hearing the coaching staff having to re-recruit Sam James and Bryce Vorwieden is blank.
Again, duh. They lost Winston Wright. They lost, Esdale. They lost a lot of kids. They lost Jared Parker. And they lost Jared Parker because they got Graham Harrell. But, of course, they had to
re-recruit. Brandon, I know. Hold on. I know you didn't say they lost Jared Parker. Like,
what I mean is,
you had the nerve to just say they lost Jared Parker.
I didn't say why
but you said it like it was a negative. I'm sorry. I know I need to back off.
I just said it was a change. All I meant was it was a change. When you have change, people reevaluate their situations. They reassess. So, duh, of course, they had to re-recruit these kids who had changes, had upheavals. Upheaval at quarterback.
Way to think on the fly. Way to think on the fly, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue on.
No, that's the truth. So, duh is my answer for that. Duh.
At the very beginning, I wasn't surprised, but I was like, oh, did they? And then it made sense as I thought about it more and more because, look, look where we're at with the NIL. People want to win. Addison went to from Pitt to USC. We've had players move on. When people believe that you're going to be good with the money that's coming in and players wanting to win now and make it to the NFL, it makes sense. My biggest thing is I'm just glad they're still here. Fifth-year seniors, that means something. Well, I hope it means something. I believe it means something. And I'm glad they're here on the roster. And I hope that I'm at the end of the year not wishing that they'd have went ahead and transferred.
Number 4. West Virginia native Grant Wells winning the QB job at Virginia Tech means blank.
Virginia Tech's going to stink again. Grant, I threw 5 interceptions in one game. Wells is not very good. He had his moments. He had flashes of brilliance, but he's not great. And Virginia Tech is rebuilding. We better get that dub. I don't care how many times they play Enter Sandman in Blacksburg on the road. Doug Nestor gets his revenge. Mountaineers on the mend. That's what it means.
Now, I kind of agree with you, but I also mean, could we possibly spin it into this glass half full of, hey, Dana Holgorsen, didn't you tell me there was no talent in West Virginia? Maybe if he had got under a great offensive coordinator, a great offensive-minded coach, he could have been something. You're sitting here talking about there's no talent in West Virginia, yet our offensive line, 3 of the 5, are from West Virginia. Our defensive line, senior-led, a few of them are from Zaquil Lawton and Sean Martin, and Jalen Thornton has connections, and Stills – Like, so you told me there was no talent yet. I'm looking at the senior laden talent at West Virginia right now. There's a lot of West Virginia boys. Grant Wells is just another example of a kid who could have spun the rock, maybe with some better leadership, been something. Indictment,
to be fair,
Dana Holgerson.
To be fair, indictment. Dana said you weren't going to win the Big 12 with the talent in West Virginia. He didn't say there was no talent. He said you're not going to win the Big 12 with the talent in West Virginia.
Well, we about to see.
Number five, Bob Huggins not being in the top 25 college basketball coaches for the CBK report is blank.
Telling. I know it's not an official report. I'm not sure how they decided their data, but it tells you what the new guard, it tells you what the new school, it tells you what the new media thinks of Bob Huggins. And if this is what they think, what do the kids think? And the truth is, it doesn't matter if he can recruit. He's had high profile, 4 and 5 stars on campus. Can he get them in the fold? If he can, then who cares what the CBK says? But if he can't, it's telling.
Yeah, for me, I was just surprised by it. Not the top 25? Now, I know Huggins, we've talked about identifying with younger kids and being able to recruit them in. But on the basketball court, the last few years, the things that he's done, taking kids that no other coach in the country could take and doing bigger things than most of them could. Like, for me, look at his record. Look at his wins. He's in the Hall of Fame. To not include him in that list is apt. I don't care, Brandon. I don't care any way you look at it. To not include Bob Huggins in a top 25 list, a Hall of Fame coach right now while still coaching, is absolutely absurdity. You wouldn't do it anywhere else. It's disrespectful to our university. It's disrespectful to our state. And most importantly, it's disrespectful to Bob Huggins. If Bob Huggins coached somewhere else, if he coached at Duke or Kentucky or North Carolina, there's no way he's left off the top 15 list. And yes, here and now, somehow he's not in the top 25. It's absurd. And immediately, I take everything that you say from here on out as trash because you don't know what you're talking about. Get your facts straight. Well, that's how we feel. JM Fiend, I also hate Pitt. We gave you I Got Five on It, and we're just about to go in. So tune in, because we're going to get into this Slovis versus JT Daniels thing. We're going to get into this defensive line and the West Virginia born and raised boys. We're going to get into a lot of things, and I can't wait to talk about them. Get ready, because we going in coming up next.
Rack me, boys!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Current and former athletes, members of the athletic department, and of course, the best fans in the country all make up a very special group we like to call the Cyclone Family. Join me, Jamie Steyer Johnson, as I bring you closer to the people that make Iowa State unique each week on the Cyclone Family Podcast. Some names you may know, while others may be new to you, but one thing's for sure, this is one family reunion you won't want to miss. Each week on the Cyclone Family Podcast.
Rack me, boys!
I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
Yes, we are going in. Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix, JN Fiend, as you know me. I'm here with my homie, my brother, I also hate Pitt.
What up?
What up, dope? That's right, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. The first thing, Brandon, I want to talk about is I was on YouTube and I saw a video that said now or never. It was for 2022 West Virginia football. And excuse me, I just had to burp, okay? Put it away from the phone. I know you get real mad at that saying, kids say, excuse me if you burp all out. So fine. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. What are we going to say?
No, I ain't going to understand. I'm just laughing.
That's right. Respect. respect. Anyway, so I was on YouTube and I was looking at this video that was about the 2022 Mountaineers, and it said now or never. And it just, I don't know, it connected with me because that's the way I feel. I feel like this is now or never. You better show something. You better put up or shut up. Fourth year into the season, fourth year into a coaching carousal. Like, you've been here for 4 years. We've seen coaches at other Big 12 places doing certain things 4 years deep. The way I feel is I don't care about excuses. I've been saying it all summer. I want to see results. Brandon, it's now or never.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. Now, I don't care about excuses, so the excuses don't sit with me. I don't want to hear about COVID years. I don't want to hear about transfers. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff because every coach in the nation has to deal with all of those things. So I don't want to hear about the excuses. However, the now or never doesn't fit for me because I don't feel like Neil Brown's seat is too hot because the buyout is too large, meaning he's going to get another opportunity. And if he has another opportunity, it's not now or never. Not only is it not now or never from that standpoint, JT Daniels has 2 years to play. And unless he completely lights the world on fire, which I really hope he does, he'll be back next year. And when you have a quarterback who should be of the caliber that JT Daniels is allegedly, then you have a chance because you're only as good as your quarterback is in most situations, which is why I don't believe in Clemson. Which is another good excuse to blame and complain about DJ Ukulele. But anyway.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying, but I think this is more of a now or never thing where it comes to talent. So, like, let's say even NFL talent or NBA talent, there's a guy who's kind of on the line. Whether they're good enough or they're not good enough. After so many years, it comes to a point where if they truly can't do something, they're going to do something. And I feel like I know Neil Brown's going to get more opportunities because he has a $20 million buyout. He's not leaving this year, next year, or whatever. But I also feel like when I say now or never, you're 4 years deep. You have the quarterback you want. You have the offensive coordinator that you want. I'm not saying you have to win the national championship, but I need to see significant upgrades. If we go 6-7 again, Brandon, I don't care how many years he has left on his contract. The answer is never. The answer is never, unquestionably never, if we go 6-7 this year.
Yeah, he's not the guy is what you're saying. You're saying he's not the guy. We know this year we will know whether or not Neil Brown is the guy.
Now or never? You said trust the climb, baby. I've been trusted all these years.
Well, you know they don't say that anymore.
Okay, but for many years you sold me that. And I bought the gear, I bought the hats, I've showed up to the games, I've rocked it, I've tweeted about it. Now show me something, or I give up. I don't give up. I just know what it is. And what it is what it is, Brandon.
Yeah, basically, I don't believe in you anymore.
Now or never.
Yeah, but
the thing is...
Like, my thing is, Hurt Hater, shout to Hurt Hater... He says that this is the most important season in the history of WVU football. And he's not the only person to say that. Other people have said that, and I don't know what they're talking about. I really don't. I'm confused. What are you talking about? What happened?
Yeah, I don't get that either. This season? Yeah, no, I don't agree with that.
So that video that said now or never, I think that's what it's talking about, Jeremy. I don't think it's talking about what you're talking about.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about what the video was talking about. I was talking about my personal feelings.
Yeah, so your personal feelings need to be clear that they're different than that video. That video saying this is the most important, most pivotal season in the history of WVU football.
Brandon, hold up, and I understand what you're saying, but that's something to say at the beginning of the argument because I just laid out my exact feelings just 2 seconds ago, son.
I know, but I'm just trying to make it clear that, like, neither one of us feels like it's the most important. Like, I don't even know what the criteria for saying that would be, but it's not. This is not the most important season in the history of WVU football because nothing changes after this. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Unless, now that we're talking about it, unless you're talking about the fact that with everything changing in college football, if we show out and show that we still have the pedigree of one of the best teams in the entire country when it comes to wins. In order to get into that SEC or Big Ten. Now, maybe if we go 11-1 and somehow we can jump ship and go to a conference like the SEC, I say conference, one or two conferences, Big Ten or SEC. Now, if that's the case, then yes, the biggest season in history. But I don't feel like our season, I don't think that's what it counts on. Even if we went 11-1, I don't think.
If we went undefeated and won the national championship, it wouldn't change whether we got into the SEC or the Big Ten.
Brandon, if we won the national championship, yes, it would.
No, it would not.
I understand your point. If we won the national championship, yes, it would.
No, it would not. It wouldn't. It wouldn't. Is it changing streaming numbers somehow? Is it changing TV ratings somehow? Is it changing academic standards for the Big Ten sake somehow? Because Brandon, if it's not doing those things.
Hold up. You're saying, is it? The answer is yes. Gonzaga's ranked number one every single year. Not every single year. They're in the top five every year in basketball. So when you change the culture.
Yeah, Jeremy, how many years did it take? How many decades has it taken Gonzaga to do that? It wasn't one fluke season. They did that.
But they didn't have a national championship, Brandon. National championship is a big time thing. But now you're one of the winningest programs with a national championship. Yes, it changes things.
We're not one of the winningest programs. We're one of the winningest programs without a national championship. We're not one of the winningest programs, Jeremy. We're one of the winningest
programs. We're in the top 25.
We're not one of the top 25 programs. We're not.
I'm talking about wins. Wins?
No.
You don't wins?
I don't think so.
All right, we'll have to look at that. Y'all get at us and let us know. Brandon's going to look it up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. So he's going to be distracted.
Total wins. I think we're in the top 25, Brandon. Now, if go ahead, look at it. Now, one way you can discredit us, and this is how you know that I'm a neutral party, not a neutral party, but like, I'm a reasonable man. Maybe you can look at the fact that we've been playing football for a lot longer than some other schools.
Oh, you're right. We're 21.
Okay.
To tell you how important that is, Washington and Jefferson is 23.
Who cares? We're number 21 in the country out of 100 and how many teams?
Washington and Jefferson is 23.
Out of 100 and some odd number college football D1 programs, Brandon, we're 21.
And Washington and Jefferson is 23.
You know who we are? We're Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins in the Hall of Fame. Huggins was a national championship, Brandon. That changes everything. Tell me it doesn't. Huggins was a national championship.
Huggins is a different story. Huggins is a different story. West Virginia football winning one national championship does not change everything.
It changes a lot, Brandon.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
Just like it did for UCF when they won theirs. Shout out to Sons of UCF. Just like it changed when Central Florida won their national championship.
Yeah,
they got into the Big 12. So
that's right. It has nothing to do with their gigantic enrollment. Their place in Central Florida, that has nothing to do with any of that geography, nothing. West Virginia has a shrinking population. Anyway, we can talk about all that stuff at another time, but I don't think it changes that. So where were we going with all of this?
I was going to things that matter, and we're talking about West Virginia and JT Daniels and Slovis, because I've been wanting to get into this for a while. Slovis. Keaton, is that his first name?
Keaton Slovis, just named starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Panthers.
There you go. JT Daniels.
The presumptive starting quarterback for
West Virginia hasn't named a starting quarterback yet, but it's going to be JT Daniels. Both these dudes, which I'm sure everybody's heard about already, were at USC with Graham Harrell before. Now they are facing off on Thursday, September 1st, at Acrisure Stadium. I just want to look at both of them. Who's really better? Is Slovis better than JT Daniels? Is JT Daniels presume better than Slovis. I understand JT Daniels got hurt. Slovis took over after that. But what does it really mean, Brandon? Well, when you break down the stats, it's not a question. There's not like this is all to do about nothing. Yes, they were at USC at the same time. This is the same way that, I don't know, let's think about it. List two quarterbacks at West Virginia, Brandon.
Clint Trickett and Skylar Howard.
Yes, wrong. Okay. So I'm saying this is this is the same way that I feel like Jarrett Brown and J.R. House were. Was J.R. House was he with what I'm saying is there's no comparison. Just because they're in the same quarterback room doesn't mean they're the same players. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no competition. JT Daniels, coming out of high school, was number 16 overall nationally ranked. A .99 by 247 Sports as recruit. Who was coming after him? All the big boys. USC, Notre Dame, Alabama. That's right, Nick Saban. You look at Slovis. He wasn't a five-star like JT Daniels. He was a four-star by one recruiting service, three-star by a lot of other recruiting service, whereas JT Daniels was 99.99 overall and ranked number 16 nationally. Slovis was 0.86 and 705th ranked nationally. JT Daniels, when they talked about his intangibles, they ranked him a number 9. When they talk about his pocket presence, it was a number 9 coming out of high school. When they talk about his delivery and his accuracy, it was a 9 overall. This dude can ball. It's not the same for Slovis. And that's the reason why when they were at USC, JT Daniels started over Slovis till he got injured. He went to Georgia, and he was balling out of control. He threw 7 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. When he was at USC, it was 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Either way, if you minus the injuries, JT Daniels has balled everywhere that he went. He threw for 72% at Georgia. He threw for 67% at USC. The thing that slowed him down was injury. So if all offensive line can protect him, I have faith in him. Slovis is just another 3-4 star that we don't really know about. That's the reason why the projected JT Daniels in the draft high up and Slovis not so much because there's no comparison. And I love this narrative of 2 USC quarterbacks. Hey, look, it's overhyped. I can't wait to invade Akershore Stadium.
I love it, son. You're bringing the stats out. Now, I will say you are not a big time recruit stat lover. You oftentimes will talk about, you know, that it gets skewed depending on who you are, but I like that they both went to the same place because that makes a difference in the rating system. So I like that. Drop the bomb out here, son. You there?
Yeah. I had to finish chewing. Wow. I like to stay with it from the mic when I, you know, take a bite here and there. I thought you were going to talk a little longer.
Take a bite. Do what you got to.
Brandon, let me say one more thing about the Big 12 mascots. I looked, and I just feel like the Big 12 mascots are like second to none, Brandon. Like, so with the mascots coming in, the UFC Knight, Brandon, I rank him in the top 5 of my mascots. That dude is dope. Are you taking the UFC Knight or the USC Trojan? I'm taking the Knight. The Knight has the blacked out eyes and a blacked out face. He looks like one of them dudes.
Isn't
from
the 300. Trojan a real person, though?
Yes. But in this case, this only one particular case, it's different when it comes to people and mascots. Now, he's real. He's real, Brandon. I love the UCF mascot. But one thing that I saw that like kind of stuck out to me is, I don't know if this is controversial or not, but are there any mascots in the entire country that have guns other than the Big 12?
I can't think of any.
Brandon, the more and more I thought about it, I mean, we have the Mountaineer with the musket. We have Texas Tech.
We Suns have up, Oklahoma. Guns up.
We have Oklahoma State.
Pistol Pete.
Other than that, I can't think of any other mascot in the country with an actual gun. I think Virginia has a sword. I don't think they show the actual the musket or the rifle. I think they have the sword or whatnot. But that's how you know we have the best conference, because we don't play. Okay? We don't play.
All right. I do want to go back talking about JT Daniels real quick. Do you have a problem with the fact that we have not named the starting quarterback yet?
No, I don't care.
It doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Now,
I feel like they have some rhyme or reason why they.
So you trust the coaches on this?
Yeah, I mean, I trust them relatively. Like, I don't know what the reasoning is, but I don't think it ever hurts to name a quarterback late. I think we all know it's going to be JT Daniels, but whatever they're trying to do, hopefully they accomplish it.
So I listened to Mike Casaza and Chris Anderson's show, Country Roads Confidential. And they made some good points. One of the points they made was that Sunday night, the QB four deep was laid out. So the players know. They know. The coaches know. They know. And they said that one of the main things that could be going on is re-recruitment. That is trying to retain players who might be upset about the fact that they are not the starting quarterback. Well, who's going to be upset? It's not Nico. Nico can't be upset. True freshman can't be the guy upset that he did not supplant a five-star as the starting quarterback. But Garrett Green could be upset. Will Crowder could be upset. And you need those guys going into a season because you need a second string and a third string quarterback for sure. You know?
Yeah.
Retention matters. Attrition hurts. This is a big deal. And whatever Neil's doing now, one of the things Neil said was we haven't done all the work needed to name a starting quarterback. I don't know what film study he's talking about. I don't know what I's dotted, T's crossed needs done. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's fronting. I don't believe anything these coaches say. I'm okay with them not naming a starting quarterback as long as it does not impact the way they practice. That is the only part that matters to me.
Yeah.
As long as the repetitions are not changed. As long as who's going with the ones, who's starting with the ones, who's playing with the ones in practice is not impacted because it's pit week and you're going through it right now, then I don't care. I don't care if it's gamesmanship. I don't care if it's, you know, whatever.
I feel like Neil Brown, the offensive coordinator, releasing this is like from one of my favorite songs of definitely favorite videos. Jay-Z, when he said, every time your name was brought up, I would act all nonchalant in front of an
audience.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. When you say it, when I say it, then it sounds double and it messes up. So anyway.
It doesn't mess up. You always double the Jeremy, Puff told you that on Making the Band, you double the audio.
No. Not when it's a second late. But anyway. In front of the audience, like you were just another show to you. But the truth be told, you threw me for a loop. That's all. I'm too old to be fronting when I'm feeling Denzel and acting like you ain't appealing when you are. Stunting like you ain't my only quarterback when you are. I'm ready to stop when you are. That's the truth. Right now, Neil Brown is just fronting. And that's the way I feel. Whatever. We all know what it's going to be.
It better be, because I'm telling you, if it's not JT Daniels, then Morgantown, we got a problem.
Another thing, so since you caught me off with the mascots real quick, do you know there's no Tigers in the entire Big 12?
No
mascot-wise.
Tigers.
Mascot-wise.
No Tigers. No Tigers. But we got some cats.
No, we got cats. I just thought it was kind of weird. There are no Tiger mascots in the entire Big 12. I thought that was... Not to say that's a strong thing, but every other conference feels like they have Tigers.
Were the Tigers in the Big East?
Good question.
I don't think so.
Let me go through them. Wow, maybe there weren't.
I don't think so.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I just thought there's a lot of Tigers. I thought it got real cliche.
There are a lot of Tigers, but I don't think there were any Tigers in the Big East.
As we're talking about this, Brandon, last thing I'm going to say about things that people don't care about. Did you know that the NBA wasn't the first league to come up with a three-point line?
No.
Nope. The ABA did that first. NBA copied off them. Doesn't matter. Clearly the NBA won.
Yep.
Since there is no ABA left.
Yep.
So let's get to this defensive line, Brandon. The reason why I want to bring up the defensive line is because we got some studs coming back. We got, you know, Dante Stills and Alston, both redshirt seniors. Yeah, fifth-year redshirt seniors. Jordan Jefferson, who's a redshirt junior. They've had all kinds of success on the football field. But we're talking about the depth that they have. The reason why I'm so excited about the D-line is, Brandon, there are kids that we've heard about for years and years that we followed through the recruiting process, that we heard their names, we crossed our fingers that they would come to Morgantown. And now it's about time for them to show out. Most of them are 3 years into the program. Zaquil Lawton will be his first year in the program, but he was at Cincinnati for a year or a couple years. I can't remember, a year or a couple years. Now he's here in Morgantown. The three names that I'm really pumped to see what they can actually do, is legacy Jalen Thornton. We had his dad on the show, John Thornton, 96 Mountaineers, big-time defensive player. And he said that my son is just as good as any five-star. Was that the exact thing that he said, or did he say
He said he's better than I was at that point.
Okay. I thought he said something else. But Jalen Thornton, it's time for him to show he's grown. Brandon, do you remember Sean Martin?
Remember Sean Martin a lot.
You remember him from Bluefield?
I do. Number 91.
Remember all that clout? We're here now, and that's one of the players I need to see on the defensive line. Like, look, it's time to show up. And even Zaquil Lawton.
Big-time recruit.
Yeah, big-time recruit out of Charleston. I can't remember. I think he went to South Charleston. Actually, I remember seeing him play a high school game. He's here and now. And we hear good things about him. But there are players on that defensive line, especially because two of those three are West Virginia boys. The third one is a West Virginia legacy. I'm ready to see them show out and show up this year.
Me too. They need to, because we lost Akeem Mesidor, and we need somebody to step up and fill that role. I don't know that anybody can, so we need to see what people can do. We need it.
Absolutely. Anyway, you got anything else?
That's it for me. That's all I got.
All right. That's what we got. RBK. Hey, next week, game week. So get ready, because we are going to be full of passion. I can't wait.
Don't forget, like, subscribe, rate, and review on all platforms for your boys. Please help us out. We love y'all. Show us the love back.
Sports Social Podcast Network.